This Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. To become a member of the PCGS Collectors Club, visit PCGS.com and learn how you can get vouchers for free grading when you sign up. I was scouring eBay the other day to buy some PSA graded Pokemon cards for my son. It was his birthday. On a lark, I decided that I would get the lay of the land of the sports card and collectibles market and look for other PSA graded items. A few minutes later, I stumbled onto something that I had no idea even existed, PSA graded coins. Upon closer inspection, I realized that the holders were actually PCGS holders with PSA inserts. This got me interested, so I reached out to my friend Steve Sloan, marketing director at Collectors Universe, to find out more. We talked about PSA coins, Upper Deck's recent foray into the coin market, and how I just figured out a way to adapt what the trading card market does to bring coins to a brand new audience. That conversation is next on the Coin Week podcast. Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining me on the Coin Week podcast.
Thanks for having me, Charles.
I wanted to have you on this week to talk about something that came as a bit of a surprise to me. Although I'll be honest, this industry never ceases to surprise me. But I was conducting a non-work-related internet investigation for PSA-graded cards. If our listeners do not know, Collectors Universe is the parent company of PCGS. They do not just set the standard for grading rare coins, but they're also a market leader in grading and authenticating sports cards and memorabilia, and they've been doing that for more than 25 years. What I was surprised to find out was that PSA is now using the PCGS slab to encapsulate certain coins and coin-like objects using PSA grading standards. So I wanted to reach out to you and talk about it and see if we can give Coin Week's listeners an insight into this aspect of the sports collectibles business.
Sure, yeah. So just so people understand, you know, Collectors Universe owns both PCGS and PSA, Professional Sports Authenticator. And PSA is mostly known for trading card grading. And, you know, the Honus Wagner T206 card being a famous card that even people who aren't involved in trading card collecting may be familiar with. You know, that's kind of the superstar of baseball cards. But, you know, as, you know, baseball card manufacturers over the years, you know, are looking for ways to kind of diversify their releases, add inserts into their packs. So they developed a new ways of doing that. One ways was to market, small circular discs as coins. You know, I think any true numismatist would scoff at the idea that these are actually coins, but that's what they're called and that's what they're marketed as. So, you know, examples would be like 1964 Topps released coins as a insert with their trading card release. And, you know, you might have a picture of Mickey Mantle on the front of the coin, and it's just a metal disc. It doesn't have, it has certain characteristics of a coin. It's circular. You know, it has an obverse, has a reverse. It may have imagery. Some even have like more traditional elements like devices, fields, which I actually have raised off the surface. But beyond that, it's just really a collectible that's been manufactured to look like a coin. So PSA will grade those items on their own grading scale and put them into holders that are actually PCGS holders, but with a PSA label.
Well, like I said, it's very interesting because, you know, the Sheldon grading scale has developed over the past several decades from a loosey-goosey price guide for 1794 large cents to a robust and yet still developing grading system. The PSA grading scale, on the other hand, is a 1 to 10 grading scale. And I guess never in their wildest dreams did PSA graders ever think they'd be applying this 10-point scale to sports-related numismatic or coin-like objects. So again, this is an evolution in grading. You know, it's based on the needs of a certain segment of the market in reaction to the blurring of lines between two types of collectible objects, coins and sports cards.
Yeah, it is. I want to be clear, though, like when these coins come to our offices for submission, and I call them coins, but they're collectibles kind of posing as coins. They don't go to the PCGS grading room. They go to the PSA grading room, and these are two completely separate rooms, separate staff. And as you mentioned, they are graded on a 1 to 10 scale, which is quite different from the Sheldon 1 to 70 scale. The main things they're looking for on these on these coin-like objects are scratches, dents, any type of surface issues, centering as well, which is a big thing in trading cards as well. It's like how well the image centers on the object. So they're not looking at things like luster or strike. That does not apply to these types of objects.
In your internal analytics, do you find that there's a crossover between sports card collectors that are loyal to the PSA brand and coin collectors that collect PCGS certified coins?
That's a good question, Charles, and we do see some crossover. The demographics of the PCGS kind of common collector is very similar to that of the PSA in terms of age and income, especially for the vintage end of the market. So we're talking cards prior to 1970, really in the heyday, the 50s era baseball cards. Now, there is some crossover, and you may have noticed some of the auction prices realized for cards that are selling through big powerhouses like Heritage. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousand dollars for high-grade Roberto Clemente rookies and of course, Mickey Mantle's 1952 Tops selling for north of $1 million in high grade. I think even when it trickles down to the lower end grades, there's a lot of crossover. The one thing that's kind of absent on the PCGS side is a younger collector. I mean, most of our PCGS, most, not all, I'm not going to exclude our very, vocal and strong Instagram following, for example, for PCGS, but most of our collectors are north of 50 for PCGS, and whereas PSA, we are trickling into the 30s and 40s for a very large segment of our demographic, and that probably relates mostly to the boom of trading card collecting in the 80s, which kind of those guys who were in their preteen years in the 80s are now coming into money in their late 30s and 40s and able to reengage in the hobby. But there is some crossover to answer your question. It's not as strong as you might think, but there are definitely areas where there's crossover.
I think one of the things you bring up that people should keep in mind, in the coin industry right now, there's a dynamic shift in collector attitudes towards modern coins and world coins. And the type of material that 20 or 30 years ago wouldn't have been taken seriously by PCGS or the coin industry at large is now a very big part of the business. And when it comes to PSA, I think the same trend probably holds true with modern sports cards, cards from the 1980s and 1990s boom, led by Upper Deck, but also other brands, modern cards that are not even sports related, like Garbage Pail Kids from the 1980s or Pokemon cards and their Japanese antecedent Pocket Monster cards, or even world cards in general. So whether you like it or you don't like it, right now it seems that there's no shortage of customers looking to collect authentic examples in the finest grades.
Modern is a huge part of PSA's business. It's funny you bring up Pokemon. Pokemon released in 1999, and now in 2017, there's YouTubers who have 500,000 subscribers just for breaks on Pokemon products, which outside of vacuum, is huge numbers. I mean, that's a very popular product, and we see that come through our doors for PSA every day. But it's funny because they refer to the 1999 releases as vintage, which just makes us laugh because of the real reality of what vintage really can mean, especially when you're talking about 1909 T206 pre-war cards, and even with coins and the history of going back to U.S. coinage in 1790s. So it's just funny how different products can be framed in different ways by their collector bases. But
well, I don't know how many people know this about you professionally, but before you started working at PCGS, you used to work for Upper Deck. And recently, we did a podcast about the Grandeur Collection, which was Upper Deck's first foray into collectible coins. They did a hockey series. Who would grade this series seems like a little bit of a conundrum to me. Obviously, their core brand constituency would be more familiar with PSA than PCGS, yet these are legal tender coins, so here's a product that could go both ways.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I mean, I think back to the baseball coin, 2014, and how successful that was. I mean, obviously that was, you know, released by the U.S. Mint, so that has a built-in collectability there. But the way we packaged them with autographs of Hall of Fame baseball players, I mean, that program went from, you know, $1 million program to tens of millions of dollars just by adding that added collectability. And you look at sports and the ability to get athlete autographs, and that could be a way to amplify the coin that Upper Deck is releasing even further across collector bases. So I'm hopeful that Upper Deck can really make the most of their coin releases, the grandeur releases. My concerns are the distribution being a little bit limited. They have a Canadian distribution plus digital online distribution. You know, as a collector, I want those in as many people's hands as possible, just to really see where the market bears out with it. You know, from PCGS perspective, I doubt that we'll get many for grading just because of the fact that they're not getting into too many dealers' hands from what I can tell. Maybe you know something different, Charles. But, you know, I am hopeful for the series. It seems like it has great crossover potential, especially in Canada where hockey is so huge. But we'll see. I actually saw Jason last week at a trade show, and he expressed optimism with the program that he thought it was going well. So I wish them luck. And Jason Masha, being the president of Upper Deck, who you had on not recently. I hope it goes well.
Well, I hope it does too, because I see tremendous potential for the coin industry to take some of the lessons learned from the sports cards and collectibles industry, especially insofar as how to seed collectible coins in blind packs and sell them through big box retail stores. You know, to have different dates and grades and types of coins seated in these packs, plus inserts, have a defined checklist of coins that are available in each series, and give the public a chance to give coins a shot in the way that they wouldn't have unless they were the type of person who would, you know, on their own seek out coins at a local coin shop or online. And it should be obvious to everybody in this industry that we have lost a lot of retail acreage in recent years. And that to really kickstart this industry and coin collecting into that next gear, that's totally possible. We're going to have to reach customers in new and innovative ways.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, and that's probably Upper Deck's strategy here, is that they're looking at targeting sports collectors and sports fans, and not necessarily coin collectors. I feel that at that point, based on what I can see on the way that they're releasing it, which is fine. I mean, that is their core group. Where we as a coin community may be able to help out is to look at that product in particular and see how we might market it to coin people. Obviously, it's legal tender from Nui, so it has that element to it. I wonder how much, if you're not a fan of hockey but you are into coins, how much appeal it has. But that's probably not who they're targeting. They're targeting hockey fans and getting them to go, you know, cross the river and get into coins, which is great for us, and I really hope it works out.
Why limit it to hockey? I mean, I know that Upper Deck's business model would be predisposed to limiting their product to a sports theme. But in our industry, you can come up with a series of 30 hand-selected coins from across many different series and many different grades or characteristics. And these could have a retail price that would fit in line with what the market would likely bear for a blind pack, you know, a spur-of-the-moment purchase product that could find a place on retail shelves, like at Target or Walmart. And since every single coin, no matter the grade, would be unique unto itself, the purchaser would still stand to get something out of getting two coins of the same issue in the same grade in a pack, because they're likely to like one of them more than the other. And you could sell the other one and get back some percentage of your purchase price. I mean, it would still be a PCGS graded coin, and it would still have a collector base that would be broader than just who would be buying these packs. So this is a way to get more people really excited about coins. And again, you'd seed special coins, you'd have maybe foil label inserts or autograph inserts, or even have some higher end coins randomly seeded. And the same general principle that has proven to be so beneficial to the sports card industry can be implemented with coins. And it just gives collectors another look and another market innovation.
Yeah, and I think PCGS would be a willing partner with a dealer or distributor who wanted to go down that route. It would be smart to pick Upper Deck's brain, for example, on how they got the weight issue solved on blind packaging and different denominations and metal content. If there's a way to do it, they do it right now with trading cards. So it's just a matter of making it appealing to the mass market, really marketing the fact that there's great value within the blind packaging. Obviously, you're gonna have some lesser value items that will be pulled, but you're really leaning into the numismatic rarities that maybe be pulled out of those blind packages. I think that's a really intriguing product for walk into a Target and buy a $50 blind pack of single coin, and it could be a great key date coin from U.S. Circulation, or it could be a modern bullion coin. It could be anything in between, but the appeal of it is the chase and the idea that you're going to get something different in every package. That's a great way to get people involved in the hobby, I think.
And if you think about it, the product could have its own registry set.
I love it.
I think in general that there are a lot of people who look at the coin industry and they think, this is an older industry, and they ask, will my coins have value down the road? And the answer is yes. And the reason is that there's always marketplace innovation. Just as soon as someone leaves a crack in the door, somebody else is going to see that crack and bust through it with some new innovation or idea that changes things and generates new excitement. I think PCGS and PSA are testament to that innovation. And we'll have to just wait and see if someone listens to this podcast and realizes that we're right about the future of the hobby and what opportunities lie in wait to bring new people in. In the interim, if you want to see one of the latest market innovations, at least for sports collectibles, there's sports-related coins and coin-like objects now in PSA holders. And if you go to your hobby retailer or go on eBay, you can find them.
Definitely. Yeah, go check them out. I mean, that's the thing too, Charles. I mean, let's give one away. Let's get your collectors exposed to this. To this realm. We can provide you guys with a sample and maybe give it away on your site.
That'd be awesome. And those PCGS sample collectors are they're really hardcore about it. And this might be that rare opportunity for one of those guys to actually get one of these. So Steve, thanks for cluing me in on this PSA program that I didn't know about, and thanks for hooking us up with a sample or two to give away. So we'll probably get that from you in a few weeks and do that giveaway later this summer.
Thank you.